Hello, it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. It's another Classic Friday, and we continue this run of Classic Friday shows. Where it stops, nobody knows. Won't be going on forever, but we do like the idea of bringing to you guys the classics, man. Some of the stuff from our archives that you may have heard, you may not have heard, and like that. Today on the show, we are going to be featuring a couple of years, one from last year and then another from 2 years ago. But we're going to be starting with the two-year-ago show. It's a Bobby Dooley show along with her husband, Steve Dooley. Bobby was hosting for me. I had really bad insomnia, and I decided to just turn it over to her, and she and Steve, you know, butchered it up. But, hey, probably no worse than I would have. They came on the show, and you know, it features all the wonderful Bobby Dooley bits, like her slapping Steve around. And she also, at one point, interviews Dean Wheeler from Wheeler Resorts as he's giving meditation lessons to, quote, $900 a night guests, unquote, or end of quote. Also, there seems to be not a squirrel, but some kind of a chimpanzee or chimp up in the tree that's bothering him. Then we go to last year, and we have Mavis Leonard as she is on her way to the funeral of her late departed pinochle partner. And she's also commenting on what was going on during the football season last year. Maybe remember in 2014, it was all about, you know, domestic abuse, the Ray Rice stuff. It was all over the place. She'll be commenting on that, and she'll also be looking for McDonald's to get herself some breakfast. So let's start it off, folks. This is from 2013, December of 2013. It's Bobby and Steve Dooley here as they fill in for the insomniac Phil Hendry.
The World of Phil Hendry presents The Phil Hendry Show, and I'll be filling in tonight. I'm Bobby Dooley, and The World of Phil Hendry is, of course, produced by Phil Hendry, but he's not here right now. I called up Rick Wiffner. Rick, are you here?
I'm here, Bobby, yes.
And Rick, generally, at the end of the show, at the end of our podcasts...
Yeah, he talks about the wardrobe.
Yeah, he does the wardrobe, and then we have Gene Abercrombie, and Gene will be here later, but excuse me, I'm a little bit nervous. My name is Bobby Dooley, and I'm going to be filling in tonight for Phil Hendry here on The World of Phil Hendry. And Steve, I wish you would excuse me for just 2 seconds, ladies and gentlemen. I wish you would take it off of that television station.
Why, it's all about the crime and everything.
The man's face, it looks like someone kicked it in.
Oh, yeah, his face is wrecked.
Yeah, well, we were talking yesterday about the National Geographic show called Naked and Afraid, which features couples in the wild. It's kind of like Survivor, except they're not wearing clothes, I guess, you know?
Yeah, we were saying the women are ugly and everything.
Well, the women are really ugly on that show. The men are no bargain either. And so I was discussing on the Bobby Dooley podcast, and I hope you listen to it. It's called the Bobby Dooley podcast. I was talking about how ugly the women were and how the show needed a better talent coordinator. I know it's coming off sounding very mean-spirited, and I don't mean it to.
No, it wasn't mean-spirited or anything, but you're talking about how they're ugly and the men are tiny.
Well, don't get into the men, because we were talking about how well, if you'll pardon the expression, endowed the men were. And we theorized that they were...
Probably a little too.
Never mind, Steve. So, but yeah, you're right, honey, not... what we would call, I don't think they're normal. I really don't think they're normal. I think it's some kind of abnormality there.
To go along with how wrecked looking the women are.
To go along with how wrecked women, yes. Mm-hmm. Now, this show that you're watching, a man, he went over the handlebars of a bicycle and his face went right into the asphalt, right?
Yeah, well, the guy's, it's actually pretty funny. He got out of prison because he was in for murder and they went, okay. And then he got out and he goes, I'm out of prison. And he got drunk on a bike and his face got trucked. It went right into a curb.
So he got out of prison.
Yeah, he got out of prison.
And he's celebrating his freedom. And he's riding a bike down the street drunk. And he hits a pothole and his face goes right into the curb. And he sort of gave himself curb bite.
Yeah, he did. He gave him. He decided he'd go ahead and bite down.
Well, no, and I mean, we're not saying that literally.
Well, I don't know.
No, honey, no one gives themselves curb bite on... Good Lord.
Well, no, I mean, how do you know?
Steve, I'm not going to argue with you. Excuse me, ladies, I'm not going to argue. So he didn't give himself... No man willingly gives himself curb bite. You don't go, wow, I'm so guilty about being a criminal out of prison after I'm done drinking this beer.
Yeah, okay.
God, Steve. Wow.
Well, I mean, it's not that. You're making me sound like I'm all a tard.
Don't say tard, because it's short for the other word. We are excited tonight, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to have on Amalio Fandango. Okay. Amalio Fandango is one of our... He is the head of security at Western Estates. And a lot of you don't know who I am. I should introduce myself. I'm the president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Western Estates is a 75-home gated community in the San Fernando Valley. Okay, in the Los Angeles portions. There's the Los Angeles. We're in the outer portion, or the outer...
Yeah, like the suburbs.
Like the suburbs, yeah. And anyway, so that's what I do. And Amalio is the head of our security there at Western Estates. We're going to talk with him in a few moments about what it's like to be the head of the security at the Western Estates homeowners. You know, not the homeowners, but at the gated community where the gates are.
Yeah, because that's where he is, at the gate.
That's where we have him, yeah. And by the way, we're so proud of the work that Amalio has done for us over the years that we renamed our service entrance, which is a very gorgeous. If you go on the Phil Henry website, you'll see a photograph of the south portion entrance that goes along, it goes along Funk Road, right, Steve?
Yeah, it's right. It goes along the Funk Road, and Funk, you know, it's a good road.
Well, I know it's a good. Why would you say it's not a good road?
Because it's called Funk, and people have written in letters.
All right. Well, I don't know about that, but
yeah, they have.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, if you've written a letter in saying I'd like to move to Western Estates, but the boulevard that traverses the back entrance, you know, it's called Funk Road. What's that about? I can assure you it's simply the name of probably the developer or someone that was handy, I guess, when they named the road. Because the road was new when they built Western Estates Homeowners Association, of which I'd like to say, am the president of the Homeowners Association of...
Yeah, of the...
Of the gated, of the gated.
Well, yeah, but the gates are...
Of the gated area of inside which are houses.
Yeah.
All right, and also I would like to tell you that we are planning our winter tacular. We have four taculars. We have the fall... I guess you'd say it starts with the... Does it start with the winter, or does it start...
Yeah, it starts with the winter, even though the winter starts in another year.
It what, Steve?
It starts in the winter. Oh, my God.
Well, no, I'm not getting angry, but...
Well, don't you understand? Can't you even read a clock?
Can I read a clock? Excuse me for another second. How dare you?
I'm sorry.
All right, the Wintertacular starts it because winter is the first season of the year, even though it starts in the another year, which is the one before it. Excuse me. Oh, I almost choked on something. I wonder what that was.
I don't know.
How dare you?
I'm sorry.
So then there's the Springtacular, the Summertacular, and the Falltacular. So our Wintertacular's coming up. And we did a dance. Steve and I love the song from the movie Titan.
Oh, Titanic.
Titanic, is it? It was the boat that sank. And we love it from the movie that they did about the boat. And it's called And My Heart Will Go On. Well, anyway, four of us gals from the Circle of Taste, which is a select group of women here in the Homeowners Association, who we like to think set the trend and the standard for the other gals, you know, that live here, you know. So we practiced the song, And My Heart Will Go On. or however it goes. You know, we're still practicing it. And we had a bit of a controversy, and we're going to get into what that controversy was. It did result in one of the four gals being asked to leave the Circle of Taste, and we just did notice today that her home is up for sale. So we're very happy the direction that it's going in, and we know that Tara Wiebe Walker, who is the former member of the Circle of Taste, we know, Tara, that you're going to be very happy wherever you and Dale decide to live, which my understanding is because of the hit he took with his income, and that has nothing to do with what happened between you and I. My understanding is the hit he took with his income, with a lot of the mortgage scam. Well, I better not get into it. But her husband did take a major hit. Isn't that your understanding, Steve?
Yeah, apparently he took a hit on income.
My husband, Steve, by the way, operates a wildly successful landscaping business, which he does do the... He has the contract for Western Estates, but that's because he's good at it, not on account of anything... me favoring him.
Yeah, well, if you call it like nudism.
Necrophilia. It's not about necrophilia. Oh, I'm sorry, nepotism. Is that it?
Yeah.
It's not about that. I can assure you it's not about that. All right, we're very excited to be filling in here on the Phil Hendry Show. This is the world of Phil Hendry. And, of course, the phone number here is 855-500-7445. And you can also hear my podcast every day on the Sideshow Network. And we're going to be right back here on the world of Phil Hendry with our special guest, Amalia Fandango, the head of Fandango Security. And they're the ones that run the security that keeps the security at Western Estates. They are at both gates, the south and the front gate, and they're the smiling faces that you see that ask you to slow down and stop, and they go through your trunk, and I'm sure you understand when you enter Western Estates. We'll be right back here on the world famous, the world of Phil Hendry, famous Phil Hendry.
Yeah, the world famous, world of Phil Hendry famous.
He is world famous. The world of Phil Hendry, and this is Bobby Dooley filling in here on the world of Phil Hendry. I also want to say thank you, Nikki McKee, who is filling in. Well, no, she's not filling in.
No, she's always filling in.
Well, no, she's not always filling in. It is her job to be a part of the Phil Hendry, the world of Phil Hendry, where she is in the control center. She is our technical director and a wonderful gal. And I think if Nikki lived out here, I think I'd love to have her in Circle of Taste.
Yeah, she'd probably give a lot of, you know, class and everything to it.
Well, not that we need the class.
No. But I think that would be great.
It would be great to have her. So, Nikki, if you ever move out here to California, and if you ever find yourself singing, "Oh, California, here I go, dee, dee, dee," then look us up here at the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Now, I want to bring on a really great guy who's been the head of our security. How long, Steve?
Well, I'm only like 2001 or 96.
Yeah, it was either one of those 2 years. I think it was 96, or it was either 96 or 2005. Amalio, it doesn't matter. When you came to Western Estates, we're so glad that you did. And you know what? It's so funny when you were just sitting there at that gate that day, out in front of our gate bleeding. And I found you there, and Catherine Booger Bougainvillea, who lived up there in the very front house there in the agave phase, she said, "There's a man bleeding from the head laying on the pavement here." And little did we know that within 2 weeks we'd hire you as the head of security.
Bobby, I remember those days, and what can I tell you but thank you for patching me up and giving me the idea to operate security there and start my own security company, Fandango Security, and to have the South Archway named for Fandango, the Fandango, Dutchman name. I can't even pronounce my own name.
Fandango. It's almost as if you've got this. You still have the head injury, isn't it, Steve?
Yeah, it's almost like you still have a head injury.
I know. Sometimes it feels like that. Fandango security. I am very proud to lend my meager talents to keeping Western States secure.
Well, you do such a wonderful job, and everyone always comments, who is that very handsome and very polite and very professional man there at the gate? And we always say, that's Amalio with Fandango. Because a lot of people, Amalio, and I'm sure you've run into this, oh, well, he's just a worker because of your Hispanic roots, right?
Some people will think, where is your boss? And I say, I'm the boss. And they'll give you a look and look you up and down and turn their nose up as if they just smelled something that was so fetid it was as if there was something dead in the trunk of the car. And sometimes I'll say to them, let me look in your trunk again. It looks to me as if you're smelling something dead. What are we talking about? Casey Anthony? And they'll say, ha-ha, it breaks the ice, you know.
Well, that's the other thing. You have a great way of putting people at ease as you go through the normal security steps. What are the security steps, Amalio? And then I want to get into some of the things that makes your security here at Western Estates. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, we're broadcasting from our community center at Western Estates here in Western Estates, California, in the Valley. That's where we live, in the Valley, don't we, Amalio?
Yes. You live in the valley.
In the valley, not in the San Gabriel Valley.
No, that's the San Fernando Valley. And that's a part of the city of Los Angeles, which it still is, even though my lady is, if you don't mind me calling you my lady, Bobby, that's something that I've just gotten used to.
It is so elegant. I'm so spoiled by this man. He calls me my lady and does a little bit of a genuflect.
Yeah, it's a little bit, you're kind of wearing it out, you know.
Steve, don't excuse me, Amalio.
I don't want to offend.
No, you don't offend at all. Hold on. What is your problem? Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. What is your problem?
I mean, he's all bending on his knee and everything, like he wants to go, you know, go blah, blah, blah.
You filthy, dirty...
Ow!
I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen.
Did you slap him?
Yes, I did slap him. Did you hear what he said?
All I heard was blah, blah, and...
I didn't mean it.
Sit over there, please. Don't even come near me. I don't even want to smell you near me. Sit there. Not there, there.
I want to go get a drink of water.
No, sit there. I apologize, ladies. I am so, so sorry. Let's, Amalio, just pretend as if Steve never happened, as if his mother never even had him, shall we?
Well, in that case, will you marry me? I'm only kidding.
Oh, that's so cute.
Just kidding.
Yeah, that's, you know, you're, man, I tell you what, man, you're sucking up and everything.
Steve, do you want it again? Because I can give it to you in two different languages. You know what I'm saying?
I'm sorry.
I can go forehand, backhand, forehand. I can do the whole Three Stooges, you know, wiggling the hand up and down and then do the eyes. Whatever you want.
I'm sorry.
Hey, Steve, listen. I understand the way you want to protect your woman. So I understand.
No, you don't understand because you're all genuflecting.
Steve, I'll have no more of it. I'll have none of it. Do you understand?
Yes, ma'am.
My husband, Steve, and I love him dearly, but that was uncalled for. And I want to say again, Amalio, I appreciate very much in this day and age where very few men have manners, very few men have any kind of gentility. They don't even know how to open a door for a woman. Do you see this a lot?
I do see it a lot with the younger generation of men. They don't know anything about how to pull a chair out, how to say to a woman, you know, I'll make the decision, which a woman would like, you know, or to open the door and say, there, get in, you know, not get in there, but here's the doors open. And I do that for my woman. I do that for my women.
You know what, you rascal? I thought you had more than one.
Well, right now.
Well, somebody's going to make an honest man out of you, I know.
Well, but I think that, yes, that kind of polite behavior is gone. And when I open the door, or when I pull out a chair, when I will, for instance, after dinner, I will get a cigar, one of the stogies that I've got. Maybe I haven't finished. I go out to my desk and get one out of the ashtray, and I'll hold it up in the air. That is my sign for her to come and to light it. Now, that sounds like I'm telling her what to do.
But you're not. You're giving her the opportunity to be a woman.
Exactly. I'm giving her the opportunity to light my cigar and then to get away from me, not because I don't love her, but it's after dinner and I'm talking with the men, so go back into the...
Into the kitchen?
Sure. It doesn't have to be the kitchen because we do... You can hire help, but go and supervise them taking the plates and rinsing them off or whatever you do. It doesn't sound like you need to supervise that.
And what do you say to a lot of women who... See, I think a lot of that is misinterpreted as sexism. You know what I mean?
No. It's not sexism or what you meant to say was sexism.
Yes, I think a lot of that is called sexism. What do you think?
No. This is right. A woman wants to be treated like a lady. She wants to have the chair pulled out. She wants to have the chair pushed in. She wants to have... I was going to make a dirty joke.
Please don't. It's still very early in the evening.
That's what I said, pushed in.
My God. And I was thinking that, too, and I would have said it. You would have slapped me.
Steve, yes, I would have slapped you. Amalio is front and center right now. I'd rather not, Amalio.
Okay. But in any event, women want to be treated like a woman. A woman wants to be treated like women.
Women want to be treated like a woman. I mean, I'm sorry. You had it right the first time.
Right. A woman wants to be treated like the women, right?
No, a woman wants to be treated like a woman.
Well, duh. A woman wants to be treated like a woman. What are you, retarded? God.
Yeah, I don't know. Is he for real?
Are you for real, Steve? Anyway, we're going to be back here with Amalio Fandango, who is head of security for the Western States Homeowners Association. And we're going to continue talking about things that are vital to today's homeowner. What kind of security do you have? And stuff like that. This is the world of Phil Hendry. I'm Bobby Dooley, filling in. Nikki is on the technical board where the wires and the everything is. Steve, I had to slap across the face because he made a filthy comment about... What did you say, Steve? It was filthy, and I don't even want to... We'll be right back. The world of Phil Hendry, I'm Bobby Dooley. The world of Phil Hendry returns here. And hello, everyone. I'm Bobby Dooley. And before we go any further, I want to bring on one of our very, very favorite people. I hear him a lot on the Phil Hendry Show when Phil is here. This is the Phil Hendry Show, by the way, but he's not here. So it's the Phil Hendry Show. I'm Bobby Dooley.
Yeah, that's what's called the Phil Hendry Show, and you're Bobby Dooley.
Well, no, yes, I'm Bobby. So I asked Phil, he said, just call it the Phil Hendry Show / ... I'm Bobby Dooley. Well, on the line with me right now, here on The World of Phil Hendry, with me, Bobby Dooley, filling in. And I was thinking, Steve, unless someone's already thought of this, I think it's cute to say filling in, P-H-I-L.
Hey, that's pretty good. Yeah, they should do that.
I'm going to let them know, the people that run the Phil Hendry Show and the world of the Phil Hendry, they should call it... You know, they should call it filling in, P-H-I-L. All right, let's get back here to Amalio Fandango, who's taking his dinner break right now. And where do you go for your dinner break, Amalio?
A lot of times I'll just go down here to a IHOP. There's an IHOP here near the freeway. Western Estates is in a beautiful section of the San Gabriel Valley, which is the West Hills area, near the border, you know, to the large ranchero, the old rancheros here in the Los Angeles area. But off in the freeway, we have IHOP.
Do you like to go to that Red Lobster?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, Steve and I love it, you know?
Yeah, I go to the Red Lobster. If I'm hungry enough, I'll go to the Blue Lobster. Eh?
That's great. That's great.
Yeah, so I go wherever my hunger will lead me.
Well, I want to ask you now about the specifics of doing security at Western Estates. We really like Amalio because he is very ingenious. He is always there, but you don't really see him and his crew. He's got a very, very well-trained crew. Tell us a little bit about... Let's talk, and it was very funny. It was Karen Hubert Cummings, And her husband is Jeff. And they had just moved into the Bougainvillea phase.
Yeah, Karen Huber Cummings was a young... I don't know why, but I just... when I said her name, something gagged up. I think it's because of the trouble that we had, but...
I want everyone to know that there was a little bit of misunderstanding. But I explained to Karen, this is what makes Amalia so good.
Yeah. We do our patrols in a way so that we know not only the outside of the home, in the perimeter of the home is safe, but also inside the home. If that means that we spend some time crouched on the property, I have crouched in bushes for a good hour and a half, and Ms. Dooley, you know this.
Yeah, let me tell everyone the I. Steve and I don't think I'm talking out of school, Steve and I, one night, we'd had some Grey Goose. Mary and Steve?
Oh, yeah, it's Grey Goose vodka, yeah.
Well, let's grow up. We had a little bit of Grey Goose. I love my Grey Goose dirty, you know. I love it dirty. Do you know what dirty means?
I do.
No, I mean the audience. It's a retard question.
You mean rhetorical?
Yeah, that's right. It's a rhetorical question. Well, dirty means it's dirty. Well, no, it's not dirty. It has olive. It's got an olive in it.
I think dirty, may I?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think dirty means olive juice.
That's right. I love to have the olive juice. So Steve and I had our martinis, and as some couples will in modern America, we went out back on a beautiful summer night, and we were...
Yeah, we're going at it pretty good.
Well, Steve, come on. We were going at it a little bit. Well, Amalio, you were in the bushes, right?
Yes, I was in the bushes, but may I make a point, because some people may misunderstand. I wasn't in the bushes to get my cheap kicks. I knew, once I saw the two of you beginning to have sex, I realized that you are vulnerable for anyone that would come along and want to beat up Steve and take you or rob you if you had your wallet on you. And of course, if you're naked, then I did. But I did notice that Steve had his pants. He came out dragging his pants behind him. So I figured perhaps there was a wallet.
Well, I just like the creative way you think. And so up out of the bushes pops Amalio, and he goes, he gives me the high sign and gave me the, you know, the forefinger to the thumb.
Right, that's the A-OK.
The A-OK. And what's the other one?
The thumbs up, the A-OK, you know, pumping two fists as in, you know, success. And I gave Steve in particular, you know, the A-OK because he looked, I don't mean to be vulgar or crude, but he looked like he was doing pretty good.
No, that's all right. That's all right. And so everyone on the Amalio Fandango security crew will do this, correct?
Well, I believe there's nothing, and I want people to understand, I know Ms. Dooley understands, there's nothing overtly sexual. There's no perversion. We feel that looking in windows is the best way to know if a home is indeed secure. So I have my men and I will go down the streets at night and walk along the edge of a house and peek in a window. If the lights are off, we'll wait until they turn on, or if it looks like people have...
Well, and what are you looking for?
We're looking to see to make sure everyone's safe. If the lights are off, and a lot of times I carry a glass with me. It's kind of stupid, but I put the glass against the window to see if I can hear.
And what are you listening for?
Well, I'm listening for anybody getting beat up or something like that, you know. So, and then I'll go and peek in. But I try not to be overt. And I remember what happened with Ms. Hubert, the lady you were talking about.
Yeah, let's talk about her and her husband, Jeff, because they made a big stink out of it, and I finally had to go over there and say, look, let me explain something. This is a gated community, so there's a lot of security. Or do you want to just live on a street where there ain't no gate? Or, I mean, where there isn't no gate.
Right. I think you said it very well to her. And I remember her jaw just opened. Her mouth just went, ha, like, you really...
Yeah, you did, Bobby. You laid her out. I mean, mentally, you laid her out.
Well, I really, really did, you know. Mm-hmm. Because I said to her, do you want to live in a gated community where we have the Taculars, a community center, and everything that we have? Or do you want to live on a street where there's, like, you just drive up to your house, which is fine if that's what you want to do.
Yeah, so she had seen me. I was looking again. I was trying not to be overt, but I was staring in the window. And what I do, so you know, Ms. Dooley and your listeners, I will stand with my side to the window. I'm not looking full on. It's my side, so it looks as if I'm walking past. So if someone were to glance up, and let's say, God forbid, she's, I don't know, doing something, you know, she's nude or shaving, I don't know.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of very private things you can do if a man's looking in a window.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So I will, I'll be walking along with my side to the window, so it looks like I'm just walking past. So if she were to glance up from her shaving, or I shouldn't say shaving, I don't know what she would be doing.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good if you lucked out that way.
Excuse me for a minute. How dare you, Steve?
I'm sorry. I didn't...
Well, I can certainly understand his attitude.
But don't you think that'd be lucky?
Steve, excuse me. I'm doing an interview, and you're acting like a crude boob and a half. All right?
God, I can't do anything.
Go ahead.
I apologize.
No, it's all right. He acts like a big child.
But anyway, so if I be walking along, and if she were to glance up from whatever she's doing, and she sees me walking along with my side to the house, she'll go, oh, he's just walking past, right? And what I do, so it doesn't look like I'm being intrusive, but then I'll kind of glance over to see what's up. And I'll make two or three passes if the bedroom window's open and the light's on. I'll make two or three passes to make sure that the person is okay.
Well, and they made a big deal. And I said, you know something, Karen, let me explain something to you, because you haven't lived in a gated community before. This is the life.
Indeed it is. Indeed it is.
Yes, this is the life. All right. Hold on, Amalio. I'll be right back. I want to talk a little bit more with you before we go to the end of the hour break. And we'll do a news break, and we'll do all of those things that you hear people do when they do. Not when they do.
No, you said do-do.
I know what I said, Steve. I didn't mean it that way.
Well, I'm checking because of the FCC.
I don't think the FCC... Excuse me, I don't think the FCC...
Well?
Oh, my God. We're going to have Dean Wheeler on, who does aromatherapy. He has a day spa. He has massages. And he has saltwater scrubs. And he also has a high-powered fire hose that he points at people and shoots saltwater on them. And when I said to him, what do you call that? The Selma, Alabama bath? And we go, you don't.
What's that mean?
You know, when you saw, didn't you see those films when they did that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he goes, that's very funny. No, this is how we exfoliate. And I said, exactly. So we'll be right back here. The World of Phil Hendry. I'm Bobby. It's The World of Phil Hendry. I'm Bobby Dooley.
Yeah.
The World of Phil Hendry. I am, but, well.
I'm. Just say I. You just.
I'm sorry. The World of Phil Hendry. I'm Bobby Dooley. To the World of Phil Hendry. I'm Bobby Dooley filling in, and I want you all to know that Phil is doing really good. He just has such terrible insomnia that there are days when he is not able to function. He called. Did you take the call, Steve?
Yeah, I talked to Mr. Hendry, and he's, you gotta do it, and then he just collapsed.
Did he collapse?
No, he didn't collapse, but he's gotta do it, and then...
What is that, Steve?
Well, it's the noise that you hear.
The noise, oh, the one noise that goes, what is that again? That's the, Gene Wiffner. Gene, you know what it is.
Yeah, that's called a dial tone.
The dial tone, I'm sorry, you're right, the dial tone.
Yeah, that's what happened. And he goes, you got to do it, help, you know, please help me. And he called back, and I said, Mr. Hendry, I heard the and he said, you're so messed up, I want to come over and belt you. And see, that's why I'm sensitive today.
Phil said he wanted to come over and hit you?
Yeah, he said that I was so stupid he wanted to clock me. And I went, okay, thanks for that.
Well, Steve, sometimes, you know...
Well, you didn't know what it was.
I didn't know what was.
The thing that goes,
I told both of you it's called a dial tone.
Yeah, you told me now.
Yes, don't you remember?
Yeah, I do now, yeah.
Yeah, no, we know it's called a dial tone now, but we didn't. Okay, Gene? I mean, you don't have to...
I'm just saying.
Yeah, don't pretend like you're all smart and everything. Let's get back to our very good friend, Amalio Fandango, the head of Fandango Security. And again, if you visit us at Western Estates and you come through the South Portico, that is our Fandango Archway. And that, and if you want to see a picture of that, it's very beautiful. It's on the home site of philhenryshow.com. And if I could, I'd put it up here. Well, maybe we will in the commercial break.
Yeah, I'll go. I'll try and do it.
What are you all crying for, Steve?
I don't know.
Maybe he's crying. You know, I don't say anything for you, Steve, but Bobby, you need a man, you know.
I really, really do need a man. And Steve,
I'm not crying about anything, just because you're talking to him, and I got to go and update websites, and I ought to be the sidekick, not him.
He's not the sidekick, he's the guest.
I'm just the guest, Steve. I'm not the sidekick.
Yeah, but meanwhile, she's got... Never mind.
If that's the best thing you've said this hour, never mind. Okay. Okay. Welcome back. We have Amalio Fandango for just a couple of more minutes. So, Amalio, we were talking about you and the security at Western Estates. So when you guys are on the prowl, you're looking for, you want to keep us all safe. And part of that is, and it's a necessary evil, is looking in bedroom windows, even if we're getting undressed. Is that...
Unfortunately, yes. It's unfortunate, and believe me, there is no one more uncomfortable with that state of affairs than myself. I have two men that work with me at night. One of them is Richard, who you've met, and the other is Davey. Richard is one of the finest employees I've ever had. He is a man who has just gotten out of prison, and I think that it speaks volumes to Ms. Dooley that she is comfortable to have him here. Working with us here at Fandango Security.
I believe in giving people a second chance. I really do.
Right, because there were some people that made an issue, especially this woman. She said she has a jailbird looking in the window while she's shaving, you know, and I made the mistake of going, oh yeah, like that.
Well, you were evidencing interest in, was the family safe?
Exactly, that's exactly what I was doing.
She said she's shaving. You go, oh, yeah? Like that? That you did?
Excuse me, Steve. I'm doing the interview.
I'm sorry.
I respect you, Mr. Dudley, but...
Well, his name is Dooley.
I'm sorry. Mr. Dooley, I respect you, but please don't interpret. When she said that Ricardo or Richard, who just got out of the San Luis Obispo men's colony, and...
And he's doing a good job for you, right?
He's doing a great job for me. You know, just because a guy gets out of prison doesn't mean he's stupid, you know. And so when she said that that guy was looking in the bedroom window while she was, quote, grooming, I said, well, what's that about?
Yeah, that's a very good question, because you know you've got a guy that's fresh out of prison. He's now working security, so he's going to be looking in a lot of windows. And she picked that time to groom, you know.
Yeah, I thought it was wrong. And so when she said I was grooming, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, I went, And what I was saying was, okay, thank you, I'll make a note of that. It wasn't like I was going, yay.
But you said it, oh, yeah, you said it that way.
Well, yes, I did, because I couldn't believe my ears that she's there sitting in a chair, full on to the window with the lights on. She must have had like a spotlight on in there. Klieg lights, studio lights, and she's quote-unquote grooming. Well, I've seen women groom, and this was more like I don't know what, man, like she was waxing herself. Or anyway, and so she said I was grooming, and I said, no kidding. And,
Well, you can't do it like that. That sounds all sick and twisted.
What did he say to me?
What'd you say, Steve?
That sounds sick and twisted. The guy goes, yeah.
No, it is not sick and twisted. You really do have a filthy mind. You know that? Get over here. Come here.
Are you sick?
Come here. Ow! Go sit over there.
Did you slap him?
Yes, I did slap him.
Oh, my God. That, well, in any event, I guess...
It's necessary. Listen, Amalio, I appreciate very much you being a part of our show this evening. Amalio Fandango, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, I love to just do... I wish we had a studio audience. That would be so much fun to go. Yay, Amalio Fandango, yay. Well, it's time for us to take a break here and go to a commercial break. And that's what we're going to do right now here. I'm Bobby Dooley. This is The World of Phil Hendry. Dean Wheeler, next hour. And welcome back to The World of Phil Hendry. I'm Bobby Dooley, filling in tonight. And I'm very, very proud to have Phil ask us to fill in. Phil suffers from the occasional insomnia. And I think I'm saying that right, Gene Wiffner?
Insomnia.
I thought it was Insobdia.
Yeah, Insobdia. That was also the place where they had visited last year.
Well, I know. We had a group. We had a contingent of people from Western Estates who took a wine tasting tour of an area, a wine growing area of Italy called Insobdia. I thought it was called that, or Tuscany, one of the two. And I said, is he in Insobdia? They said, what are you talking about? And of course, I've got to slow down for everybody around here. And I'm just kidding around. But you know, some people you've got to be patient with. And I said, no. Did he go to Insobdia? And they said, no, he has insomnia.
Yeah, I know. People don't get it.
People really don't get it. You know, they just don't. But be patient. I always tell my sons. By the way, we have three sons, Dylan, Seth, and Justin. And if they're at home listening right now, Mommy says that it's time for bed because we do have, of course, we are coming up on our Christmas vacation. And that's always a special, special time at Western Estates. One of the first things we do, of course, we have the lighting of the official Christmas lights, which are on our home. We're in the cul-de-sac in the Magnolia phase. And when we light it up, and I give the high sign to Amalio, who is down at Master Switch 3, and I will say, light it up, Amalio, and he'll throw the big Frankenstein lever. That's what we call it, because it's the boys call it that. It's one of those big...
Yeah, it looks like the kind of the Frankenstein switch.
Well, people don't know what that is, Steve.
Well, it's like a big... You know, it makes the...
Yeah, I don't know what it's called. It's the big switch thing, and we call it the big Frankenstein switch, and we'll tell Amalio, we'll say, Amalio, go ahead and, you know, light up Frankenstein, and people give me a weird look. Not everybody. Some of the people just don't get what it's about to be a homeowners association president. Those are the people that you have to visit later on and say, look, do you even really want to live here? Because of the way that you're, you know...
Yeah, a lot of people are like... The Frankenstein switch, you're like, okay, well, don't you know, okay, wow, you know, wow, you know.
Yeah, don't you want to get with it? I'm the president of the Homeowners Association, and they'll give you that look like, meh. And I'll say, are you for real? And to that end, I want to mention one thing, and then we're going to have Dean Wheeler on. He runs the Northern California Holistic Center, but he also has a spa, the Wheeler Spas, and he runs his man camp during the summer, which my husband Steve was a part of. And it's just wonderful. The men get together, they have spa treatments, they play bongo drums. What else do you do, Steve?
Well, we do a lot of... I mean, Dean said that what we do, and anyway...
Don't scratch yourself, honey. Stand still.
Okay.
Don't take your hands away from there. Don't stand there itching it like you're an ape, like you're some ape in the primate house.
I'm sorry, but I'm kind of nervous about it.
Well, what are you nervous about?
Well, I mean, he said, okay, welcome to man camp, and... Here's a bongo drum, start beating on it and running around like you're an ape. And that's why I started itching like that. I don't know. And then he said, okay, now we'll go get spa treatments. And then he goes, now you got to cut bamboo for like 6 hours. And that's what happened to Tommy Tarrington.
Oh, Tommy Tarrington, let me tell the story. Tommy Tarrington, his wife, and I'm glad they moved out. I'm sorry, she's a liar. Do you know what a bungee pit is? It's not the bungee cord, honey. It's the bungee stakes. In Vietnam and other places where they catch wild animals, it's a big pit, and they got bungee stakes that are sharpened at the bottom. And Terry's wife claimed that he was trying to escape man camp. This is a slander, by the way, on Mr. Wheeler. He was trying to escape man camp one night, and the guys were asleep in their bamboo huts.
We were sweating and everything.
But Steve, you're making it sound like you're in a prisoner of war camp.
No, but...
In any event, they were laying in their huts sweating and laying there swatting the flies off themselves. This is man camp, and I just think it's wonderful for the guys, you know? And they heard a low-pitched howl that they thought at first they thought it was a rare orangutan. And then they realized that they were in Mendocino, California, where there are no orangutans, you know?
Yeah, that's the first thing I go, hey, wait a minute, we're not in Africa. And the other guys go, yeah, you're right.
So then you realized that it was what?
Well, then we realized it was Terry hitting the bottom of that pit. And apparently one of the stakes just went right up to the Royal American.
Well, and anyway, she said that Terry comes home rubbing it with a rag, a blood-soaked rag, and swearing up and down that Dean Wheeler, and just a lot of very slanderous things. So I said to her, I said, unless you have proof, I would like very much for you to stop saying the things you're saying. And she said, who do you think you are? And I said, are you for real? Are you talking? I mean, I couldn't believe it. She said, well, my husband came home with a hand over his rear end and mopping at it with a blood-soaked rag. And I said, well, maybe he needs a new rag. And she goes, oh, my God. And I said, you know something? You're retarded. And we said a lot of stupid things, and I left.
Well, talk about Terry falling in that pit.
Steve, I told you, he didn't fall in any bungee pit, and it's a slander. And it's slanderous against Dean. I'm feeling very emotional.
I'm honey. Honey, I'm sorry.
You said you're honey.
No, I mean, I'm sorry, honey. I didn't mean to say I'm honey. You're honey.
Right, and you're Pooh Bear.
Right, I'm Pooh Bear.
So be nice to honey.
All right, honey, I'm sorry.
Okay, give me a kiss right here.
You ought to see what she's pointing at.
You dirty...
Oh, wait!
Don't say that when we're on the air.
I didn't say do it.
I was pointing at my cheek, ladies and gentlemen, and Steve's trying to make it sound like it's dirty. And then when he went to kiss me, he went to kiss me in that place that is dirty. It's not dirty, but...
Where you go?
Don't say it. I'm very, very sorry, ladies and gentlemen. We're trying to pull it together and get it together because I've got a real treat for you all. And we're going to have Dean Wheeler come up, and he's going to have a real live Indian meditation and everything. And it's very interesting. I wanted to tell you a story about our Wintertacular and the dance we were performing, My Love Will Go On, from the movie Titanic, or what's it called? Titanic. This is so much. You can't miss what we have coming up next here on The World of Phil Hendry. I'm Bobby Dooley. And we'll be right back in just a moment. And I want to mention the Phil Hendry website. That's philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Oh, and I love this song so much. We used to play this when I was a kid. My parents loved this. And I'd play this one and go, do it. And we'd pretend like we were... Well, we'd pretend we were swapping spouses. We were only 10 years old, so we didn't know what it meant, but we'd pretend like we're doing a wife swap or something, and you do it, you know. Anyway, good times.
Yeah, good times.
We'll be right back on I'm Bobby Dooley. Does anybody remember this one? This is from when I was just a little girl, but this was a lot of fun to listen to and to dance to. It's called Starbucks. Is the name of it, right?
That's the coffee, too.
This is the song Starbucks, and I forget the name of the group, but it's doo-doo, and the wind will blow it in my way. So That's just one of those songs. Oh, and you can see, if you're watching Phil TV, you can see a picture of our southern gate there. That is our southern portico. That is the Fandango Archway that I was telling you all about. Well, we're very excited to bring on the line here from Mendocino, or actually from Novato, California, Dean Wheeler. And Dean is with the Northern California Holistic Center, and right now they're conducting probably their meditation now, Steve.
That's my understanding is what he, that's what I understood him to say.
So, Dean, I know you were involved in your Native American meditations last night as part of the Wheeler Day Spa, but this is your weekend spa, right?
Right now, this is just the regular spa where we have hotel rates Monday through Friday. If you want to do a day spa, we have rates, and of course we have our weekend rates. But this is the hotel rate, and I don't like to say the hotel because that sounds, that's not what we are. That's not what we are. We are a, we're an ashram. Bobby, we're an ashram.
Well, that's interesting. What is an ashram?
Well, an ashram is a place where Indian, you know, wise men with big beards. I'm not exactly sure, but it's what we want to do here. It's a place where Indians, but not these kind. And I got that mixed up when I said to them, I want an Indian ashram experience, and these gentlemen came over. They were from a American Indian.
Oh, I see. So what they're...
Yeah, they're talking about, like, India?
Exactly, yeah, India. And when I said to them, what's with these... I didn't say what's with, but I said, why are... You know, why are there Indians here that are going, hey, hey, hey?
Yeah, well, hold on. I know how to do it really good. Hey there, hi there.
Steve does it really good.
Yeah, that's great. But the point I'm trying to make is that... this is not what an ashram is. An ashram is Indian Indians that are the ones...
Oh, I know the ones you're talking... They're the ones that have, as everyone says, and it's not very kind, the dot...
Yeah, exactly. They have the dot. Well, the dot, I mean, you shouldn't say the dot. It's the third eye that represents their religion, okay? And what we wanted to recreate here at the Wheeler Spa is the feeling of an ashram so that you're not paying... We don't want people to feel like they're paying $800 a night, which is what they're paying. We want them to feel as if they've been invited here to learn the wisdom of the ages, and it happens to be a five-star spa.
But it's like it's free. No, I know where you're coming from. It's that's wonderful. I love that feeling.
Exactly, exactly. We want people to forget right away that it's costing them $8.5-$9 bills a night. And excuse me, I'm choking because we just had curried. We had a curry dish because that's an Indian dish. And then I said, after you're done with your curry, let's go out back and we'll meditate. And that's where we are right now. But the Indians are still out here, and I let them do their thing.
Well, now, why are the Indians, if it's India, why these Indians?
Because I'm paying for them, so...
Oh, yeah, well, you got to get a money's worth, right?
Well, I don't want it to sound non-spiritual. I think I shouldn't have said that. It's not that I'm paying for them, but yeah, I am. It's that I want them to feel a part of the Indian, experience.
We have Dean Wheeler with us, and we're about to listen in as Dean conducts his meditation class. I know you were doing a little bit of it last night with Phil Hendry on the air, and I thought it sounded so interesting, Dean. So I want to hear a little bit of it tonight. And I know that you have gathered a lot of people together to sort of partake, if you will, there in the... a meditation. What exactly is going to take place?
Well, what we do is we have some New Age flute playing. There is a gentleman here who is a very spiritual guy. His name is Walt, and he actually is a musician, and he plays the flute, but we met him down here. And I'll tell you where we met him. We met him at the Marie Callender's because they have a jazz band, and he was playing flute, and I said, Do you meditate? He said, sure. And I said, we'd love to have you at our ashram. And he said, you bet. And so we've got him here to play the flute and to help us in our meditation practices. Now, I guy. I don't know where he is. I'm sorry I'm stalling, but I just can't find him. And if I could get somebody, anybody from the hotel, Emeralda, my wife, would you find this guy, please? I know. I apologize.
Oh, so we're having a hard time. That's okay, Dean. It gives us a chance to continue to talk a little bit. So you're looking for the flute player.
Yeah, I'm looking for Walt. He plays the flute, and then what I do is I lead people through their meditation.
I'm very interested in meditation and New Age and nutritions and aromatherapy. I'm very, very interested in it. And every woman is these days, Dean. We're all wanting the best for our families. And that's why I want my young people and my husband to get into things like crystals and Wicca and I don't know, covens, you know?
Well, it really is important for a family to gather under a full moon and skin, you know, an animal, hopefully that's dead.
Well, of course, no, we don't want to take it that far out, but I would like to be under a full moon and everything.
Right, right. I think every family today, as we look at new alternative ways of living, Bobby, wants to join together in a coven and dance under the moon and read H.P. Lovecraft or whatever it is. I'm still looking into it myself, but I will tell you that I think it's healthy for families to do this, and we heartily encourage all families to join together and celebrate naked, but it's not sex.
Yeah, we've got to make that clear.
Yeah, you have to make that clear, otherwise they're going to think they have to.
Well, I hope that them being mother, father, and children, they'll figure it out.
Well, that's true. That's a good point, Steve.
Yeah, that's a pretty good point. I guess our guys...
Well, our kids would figure it out. What are you talking about?
Yeah, okay.
We're talking with Dean Wheeler, and they're looking for the flute player. This is the man that will play the flute, and then he'll give the meditation class. I don't know where your flute player is, but as the boys like to say, we're burning daylight.
I know. Oh, here he comes now. Walt is on his way down the pathway. Thank you. Hi, Walt. How are you? Okay, why don't you sit down and get going, all right? No, we've been looking for you for half an hour. Start playing the flute. He wants to get a drink. What do you want? Oh, honey, would you get a big, what do you want? Get a big tumbler of gin. Ice? No ice. Just pour it in a big tumbler of gin. A big tumbler, right? All right. Okay, so Walt is, as soon as we get him his glass of gin, and that's not spiritual, that is something that I frown on, but Walt is our flute player, and I think he uses it. Do you use it? Yeah, sure you do, for a spiritual. Okay, Walt, go ahead and hit it. And what I have here gathered, folks, we're on the radio tonight with Bobby Dudley.
My name is Bobby Dooley.
Oh, I'm sorry, with Bobby Dooley. Everybody, say hello to Bobby Dooley.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi.
Okay, that's our class, and these are...
And these are all people staying at the hotel.
Yes, they're all staying at the hotel. Now, I want all of you, we've just had dinner, and a lot of you, have you gone to the toilet? Okay, we got a guy that needs to... Go ahead. Jesus. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that.
Well, have you started meditating yet?
No, we've got one guy that's got to go. You really got to go. All right. You can can it, Walt. If you want, Walt, you can can it. Hey, Walt? Yeah, thanks.
You know what? We have a commercial break coming up.
Yeah, that would be probably better.
And we're going to go to work. What do I hear there?
That's that chimpanzee. I don't know how we got chimps in a tree around here. And I heard what your husband said about man camp. That is you're right, that is a slander. And I'd like to take that up with him later.
Well, I'm just trying to say, I heard Terry Tartahadian. I heard him go, yay, he fell in the pit.
That was Terry fooling around. I don't know what Terry's doing at night. It's none of my business. If he comes home and he's rubbing his rear end, hey, whatever, you know, sets you free, man. How come he's blaming me for that?
Well, Terry said that he fell into a bungee pit and he went butt first, you know.
On a bungee stake, yeah, sure. I don't think so.
Did you see one of these, Steve?
Yeah, we saw a bungee pit and everything. It was covered up with bamboo. You try to get a guy... Never mind.
I gave him the high sign. So, folks, my husband must be mistaken.
Yeah, that's great. No, we don't do that at all. Terry, if you're listening, you know what? I don't judge you. To each his own. You're as God made you. And if that's how you get your kicks, putting a splintered, pointed stake up your... Hey, You know what? I would never judge you in a million years. You're welcome to come back to Man Camp. I'd appreciate it if you would stay in our segregated housing. But that's between you and your maker.
All right, so that's enough said about that. But I do hear some chimps.
Well, that's what I said. I said it was one of the wild chimps. And you can hear that we do have a wild chimp here.
But you're in Novato, California.
Yeah? So what's that supposed to mean?
Well, there's no wild monkey in California, so far as anybody found out.
There's no wild... Well, I guess we got at least one. Because guess what? You're listening to it.
Well, is it indigenous to California, or do you think it was brought here?
Brought here? What does that mean?
Never mind.
All right, there's Bobby and Steve Dooley, and that is just the first segment of today's Classic Friday here on a world-famous Phil Henry show. Coming up, we've got Mavis Leonard from 2014, and Mavis is on her way to the funeral of her pinochle partner, and she's also off to McDonald's to get herself some breakfast, and she's also going to be commenting on the Ray Rice situation here. It's world-famous Phil Henry show. It's a Classic Friday. All right, man, what is this?
Gordon Lightfoot,
that's swinging, man. All right. Coming back here on the Classic Friday, we've got Mavis Leonard from 2014, from, I believe, December of 2014. And Mavis is, as I said, going to give us commentary here not only on the Ray Rice situation, but also on the funeral of her pinochle partner. And she's trying to get to McDonald's for breakfast. Mavis Leonard joining us here from Los Angeles on her way out to a funeral, I understand. Right, Ms. Leonard?
But you are.
You're on here now, Adi.
All right. Phil, how are you?
Good morning, Gary. Are you on your way to a funeral?
Yeah. We are over on our way now to Rose Hill to say goodbye to Madeline Sabin. Madeline just passed on, 82 years of age. She had a very peaceful passing. We're on our way now over to her services.
Oh, dear. I'm so sorry. This is Margaret. I'm so sorry to hear that, Mavis. Was she a dear friend?
She was a close. I played cards with her. Very, very good card player. I played pinochle. And she was my pinochle partner. And I can tell you this, I say this with love in my heart, that she's a hell of a card player. And we won a lot of money together, a lot of money. And if I'm going to miss anything about this lady, I miss her laughter. I miss the joy that she brings. I miss the tears that come to her eyes. If I blew a bit, she'd cry. And it was so endearing to see that. She just goes, "Oh, man, Mavis, how could you do it? How could you do that to me? I feel like you are all of a sudden five different men putting your hands on me at 1 o'clock in the morning at a party." And she going like that, you know.
She took her card playing seriously, huh?
She said, "See, if you blew a bit in what?
In pinochle."
Yeah, in pinochle.
So she would get really emotional.
Yeah, she'd say, you blew it. You blew. Has that man say that, Robert, in the movie?
You're talking about Robert De Niro.
Oh, that Robert De Niro say that?
Yeah, Ms. Leonard, that's Robert De Niro. Goes, "You blew it. You blew it."
Yeah, that right there. That's what she said. Yeah, I blew it in pinochle. She'd say, "You blew it. You blew." She said, "I tried to teach you to be a pinochle player. I tried to teach you, but you blew it. You blew." And then the next thing you know, we wind up running the table, and we went ourselves a hell of a lot of money.
Well, all condolences to you on this day, and you're going to Rose Hills, huh?
Yeah, I think that's where we're going, to Rose Hills. Charlie, where are we going? All right, yeah, we're going to Rose Hills. You stop at McDonald's on the way, you know that? Yeah, stop at McDonald's there. I want to get I don't want to get in that mess they serve, but I love to have the hash brown. I want to. You know what I think? I'm going to get a quarter pound of cheese. Hello?
Yeah, right here. So you're getting something to eat, huh?
That's right. What are you laughing at?
He does this, Mavis. He's always laughing at something.
Phil, that's a really good friend of mine that passed on.
Mavis, I understand that. I don't mean any disrespect at all. You get what you need.
Hold on, Charlie. Pull it over here. Yeah, that's it. Pull it up here. Get on up to that box. Get it in tight to that box.
Hold it.
Yeah.
Hey, Charlie, this is Robert, man. You get my aunt to that funeral on time. You understand?
I'll do that.
I don't want her with a rear end hanging out in the breeze.
Oh, look at Robert. Don't tell a man about that. I got it under control.
All right, so you're getting something to eat. We do want to talk to you here about the National Football League, the morality, you know, Mavis, of today's football players.
I was a school teacher, Phil, and I taught all of my sons and daughters, and I taught Robert, and I also worked at Pastor Rennick, you know.
I know you have worked at Joyful Union.
Yes, I have, and I've taught white children, I've taught black children, I've taught Mexicans, I've taught the Polynesian, I've taught the island people, I've taught the native people, I've taught every kind of people in between.
Hold on there, General.
Hold the phone. I'm not even done. You interrupt me.
I'm terribly sorry.
I've taught every kind of people and all the people in between. And I believe that what you give a child is a foundation for moral behavior in this world. And these football players and all of these other people, I think it's wrong. They all ought to be taken out and smacked around. And smacked in the face. I had them all lined up in front of me. I smack them in the face. That's what I do.
Slap their faces, huh?
That's what they need.
Well, my honey, you know...
Robert, hold on. I told you, don't start every sentence going, my. I just heard you do that.
I'm sorry, but honey, you can't take a grown man and slap him in the face.
Yeah, you can. Sometimes a man needs that.
Hey, see how Dickman was smarter than you on that? See how Dickman got you?
Dickman ain't smarter than me. How do you slap a grown man?
I'll tell you how you slap a grown man. You come on home, I'll show you how. Yeah, I know how to do it real good. I slap your face. I slap your face so hard that you'll be walking into tomorrow and your face will be catching up on Monday.
I just think that's wrong.
Well, you may think it's wrong, but I think it's right. And I'd rather, if loving you is wrong, honey, what did I say, Robert, when I first had you move in with me after your dear mother passed on?
If loving me was wrong, you don't want to be right.
If loving you was wrong, I don't want to be right, yeah. And I feel that way still, but I've modified it. If loving you is wrong, then I have misgivings, but I still don't want to be right. The longer you live with me, though, if loving you is wrong, I'm beginning to feel it physically hurts. If loving you is wrong, I'm bleeding, well...
Oh, okay, Mavis, we need to get back on track here, you know?
Yeah, so
loving me is wrong.
Hold on, Robert. Go ahead.
Yeah, Robert. Listen, Mr. Henry, you run the show. I think that young people today have to learn respect. And I taught my sons to have respect. And if they don't have respect, I take them out in the back alley and we'll go to work on them. We'll go to town.
So you believe very much in corporal punishment?
I believe in corporal punishment to a point. I do not believe in corporal punishment for a child. I think the older a child gets, then the corporal punishment increases. I think for a baby on up to the age of 10 or 11, you don't lay a hand on that child. You don't even go near that child physically. From the age of 12 to 14, a very light tap on the behind or on the thigh, something like that. From the age of 16 to 18, you can push the kid, maybe even cuff him, just a cuff. You know what I mean by a cuff?
No, I don't. Yeah,
Robert knows how.
You cuff a kid, man. You just kind of go, hey, you cuff the kid kind of on the side of the hand.
Like, do it to me.
Ow, you hurt.
Oh, shut up, bud. Didn't hurt you.
You cuff him up. From 18 on up, you can close your fist and take a good, strong shot right at the mouth. In other words, from 18 and older, go ahead and take that left jab, fake with the right, move in with the left.
Wait, are you crying?
No, I was laughing.
All right. Mavis Leonard is with us here on the Phil Henry Show as we continue discussing here.
I want to ask Mavis a question. General Shaw here, Mavis.
Yes, General, I'm here.
All right. So you say that the football players of today, you're going to line up a bunch of guys that are 6 foot whatever, 300, and you're going to smack them across the face.
I think that's the first thing should happen to them. See, look what you did. You smack a little tiny child. You hear your wife? Well, guess what? Here come Mavis Leonard. Mavis is coming to town. And friend, you don't want to know the rest of that story. You don't want that sentence. You don't want to complete that sentence.
So a little lady like yourself, Mavis, you know, it's hard for me to take you seriously.
Well, I'm being very serious, you know, because I think that's what they need to know, you know.
Well, the message, I like the message a lot. The message is, so you think you're a big, strong, rough, tough man, huh? Well, guess what? Here's a little old lady. She's going to smack you around.
Yeah, but I don't know how many they'd take it.
Yeah, that's the thing. How many of these guys would take it?
Well, they got no choice to tell you. They're going to take it and take it good, and they're going to feel good the way they take it. Look, I don't want to get more specific because this starts to sound grotesque and all sexual and everything like that, but you know what I mean. I just can't allow these people to run roughshod. So, you know, they're beating up on babies, they're beating up on a woman. And these guys are beat up on a baby. When that baby's going to get older, and I don't mean the baby has to become an adult. A baby, and I've worked with babies my whole life because I worked in a nursery at Joyful Union, but a baby can plot and plan. Now, maybe the baby don't have the physical strength, but it can formulate a plan. Just like Ray Bradbury in A Little Tiny and Fast, when that tiny baby take out a knife, a trip that adult. That baby got on a step and tripped the adult.
Well, now hold on for a minute.
What is he talking about?
He's talking about you're talking about the Ray Bradbury short story, The Small Assassin.
Yeah, and that baby come out of that crib, lickety-split, and the man was going to go downstairs to get some. I forget, and the baby tripped him, and he went, down there.
Yeah, I remember seeing that, man. They made a TV show out of that.
I don't care, Robert. They made a TV. I'm talking about a book. I'm talking about literature. I'm talking about a man sat down and write a story. I don't care. They turn in a TV show.
What about that woman telling Savannah's? You don't like the thing it says.
Oh, Robert, would you shut that off, man? Tell her that bald-headed freak with a dog. You mean a doll come back from the dead?
Doll can come back from the dead?
Yeah, no doll can come back from the dead because the doll ain't alive in the first place.
Now, Larry, hold off, man. Hey. Look at that, man. Boy, the two put you guys together and we got one fairly decent brain. Put the two of you guys together, and we've got one sort of functioning brain. I love that.
All right, Mavis Leonard is with us here on the Phil Henry Show. We're also going to be joined by Ted Bell in just a moment. Mavis, hang on, okay?
I won't do that. Hold on, Phil. Okay, Charlie, I told you to pull up, man.
I'm still going, man. What's he doing?
Yeah, I said pull over here, I got to get a McDonald's. Yeah, get in real tight to the truck back. Get up real good and tight. Hey, I'm going to go. I only get a quarter pound.
All right, we're going to hold the phone here. Just put Mavis on hold there.
She's done breakfast. Dad, she's got a quarter pounder with cheese and everything. Why can't we do that?
You can do that before the show starts or after the show. How about that? How about that for a news flash?
Jesus Christ, Dickman, you haven't got that one figured out?
No, I'm kind of hungry now.
Well, that's too bad.
All right, we'll be right back here on the Phil Henry Show with more of this scintillating and sexy and exciting conversation with Mavis Leonard. We're going to talk also with Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills. We continue with our discussion here of the National Foonball League and all them badass, jackass jazzackery that's going on there, man. Those guys are all, they're messed up.
World famous Phil Henry. Do I go?
Yeah, go ahead.
The world famous Phil Henry Show. I shouldn't have said, do I go?
I'll do it. The world famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico. We'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show. On the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, that's great, guys.
Oh, that's just great,
I could do it better than they did it. The Phil Henry Show. We'll be back. Shoot.
Wesco's Auto Detailing has been in the Torrance area for the last 10 years, detailing your car right on down to the last little smudge mark, even if your kid leaves a streak right there on the seat. You know what that does to the leather? I don't have to tell you what it does to the leather. I'm talking straight to those of you who have leather interior and a kid sitting and streaking that seat. Go ahead and laugh and giggle, but you know right out there, you're listening to me, you people with leather interior and a kid that streaked it, you know what it means. You know what it means. Don't worry about it, but we know how to deal with that at Bobby's Auto Detailing. I just decided to change the name of the business to Bobby's Auto Detailing. It's easier to remember. Call us up, look us up, but don't look up the old name that I gave you. Look up the new name, Bobby's Auto Detailing. That should be in the yellow pages tomorrow.
Singing, but this, I create an entirely new paradigm.
Well,
You're Margaret Gray.
Thank you, Robert. I'm Margaret Gray. Wait. I'm Margaret.
All right, fine, Margaret. Welcome back, folks. Bill Henry Show. Aerosmith there and the Sweet Emotion. All right. We're going to get our good, close, personal friend here, Ted Bell, up on the line because Ted's got a few things to say to us about this and that and some other things. Where is Ted? Oh. Ted, you there?
Well, give the guy a break, Phil, for Christ's sake.
Ted's a Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Hey, Phil, yeah. Ted Bell here with Ted's of Beverly Hills. Hey, come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. We've got that pork roast going. I promised you the extra special seasoning on the pork roast. Ted Bell comes through.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
Yeah, baby.
Hi, Ted. On the line here with us is Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. We also have Mavis Leonard who has joined us, and we're talking here about, these very, very disturbing accusations and disturbing bits of information that have come out of the National Football League. We heard Mavis saying, Ted, that she thinks these guys ought to be stood up against a wall in an alley and smacked across the face by an old lady. What say you?
Well, you just did...
What's wrong with that?
You just did a Bill O'Reilly, you know.
Hey, what say you, Phil? That makes me feel like you're trying to horn in on Bill O'Reilly. You know, I can't have that. I would not have that.
Yeah, Steve, Bill, when you say what say you...
Okay, what's your opinion?
All right. But what say you reminds me of O'Reilly and that big bloated red face of his.
And Bill O'Reilly, he looked like he was next to a jug for a long time, you know, and that... I don't think that that's anything you're going to want to... Now, Bill O'Reilly get angry and he breathe that... He's going to breathe... He's going
to breathe the clam sauce.
Yeah, he'll breathe the clam sauce on you.
Okay, so Bill O'Reilly is out of the discussion. What do you think about what Mavis said about dealing with these football players?
Well, I think dealing with these pro football players, Phil, like these guys have been playing football. They're getting paid large amounts of money. Then they come up to a little tiny kid and they go, yeah? Well, I don't like the way you look, smack. They go home to their wife, you know.
That's right.
They go home to their wife, and they say, well, I had a tough football game today. What? Chicken for dinner again? Belt. They go in to lay down, take a nap, and the TV is on in the next room, and they go, that kid's watching TV again, goes in, kick. They go back into the bedroom, they try it, and then the wife comes in, and then they feel like having sex, and the wife said, I don't feel like sex tonight, slug. And the next thing you know, these guys are just going through life, slug, kick, belt, whack. And I won't have it. I don't think any man should treat a woman like that, or a kid for that matter.
I definitely don't think a woman should be treated that way.
Woman, definitely not. Maybe a kid.
Yeah, maybe it's all right for a kid.
No, it's not all right for a kid, smack, belt. So what is your solution?
My solution is that you give these guys you give them a warning. Because, look, Mavis, I understand what you're saying about them being smacked.
Talk about giving a warning. These men, they're taking terrible, terrible violence out on people.
I know that, but how do I put this? I'm going to go ahead and say it. There's a lot of cabbage running on these games.
Oh, my. I knew it had something to do with that.
You trying to talk about money or something?
Hold on. Let me just say what I want to say.
You're saying that the money comes first.
If you're saying that, Ted Bell, I swear, I'm never going to call. I won't come into your restaurant again. I won't have as much as one shrimp cocktail. No more clam dip. That's out. You know.
Ted, you hated the clam dip.
I do hate the clam dip, but I was going to give it another chance. But now, no, I'm not going to have that clam
dip. Know that I'm coming out with a commercial clam dip. Now, wait, hold on for a minute, Phil.
Wait, no, we're not talking about your clam dip.
No, wait. Mavis said that she would be a spokeswoman for the national brand of Ted Bell clam dip. What's going on around here?
I'm going to have my name on a clam dip from Ted Bell when you talk about smacking a kid.
I'm not talking about smacking a kid. I'm asking for a moratorium on the punishment until the season ends. What's wrong with that?
Because the perception is that money is everything.
Money is not everything, but it's a lot. Look, folks, do I have to give everybody the facts of life around here?
Hey, Jesus Christ, Bell. Are you saying that we don't let these guys get punished so they can play these games so you win your cabbage?
You know, Ted, I've heard a lot of garbage in my life. And I've been around a lot of garbage.
Well, I believe that.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
No, I won't leave. I'm not going to let you get away with that. You can say that on the other end of a phone, Ted.
Oh, Margaret, come on. Everyone knows you. If you were sitting right here.
here.
I can come through that phone.
Oh, wait a minute. Don't do it.
Hi.
Now, come on, Margaret. You know, I was just kidding around, okay? Oh, my God, she's taking her belt off. Now the panties...
Well, what happened? At least we're going to have Mavis on the line. What happened to her?
Hold on. Hey, Mavis, yeah, you're back. Yeah.
Well, you said that I don't blame Margaret from going to the phone and kicking his ass, because he need to have an ass kicking, you know.
Well, here's the thing. Every time there's an ass kicking going on in the show, we don't get to the actual point of what it is we're talking about. And we're talking about the punishment of National Football League players. Ted Bell said that he wants to let the season go. And is she back yet? She must be beating the shit out of him. Well, you know, you might as well call him up. Give him a call, bud.
Thanks.
So, you know, Ted Bell is a guy who is obviously more concerned with the money.
But I don't mind a man placing a bet. I don't mind that at all, but I would say that there's a problem with the... is that Ted there?
Ted, are you there?
Yeah, where are you?
All right, so I take it she belted you.
You don't think the belt was great? She hit me right with her belt. I don't mind that the people come in here. That's fine. Can you understand what I'm saying?
I can understand.
But she does... You know that I got a bitch? You know that the family of Buck Teeth, I went and I ordered the kitchen.
Your buck teeth, you ordered special.
Believe that. You look like a freak on skates.
The buck teeth looking good. She knocked them together at the bank.
Well, where is she now?
It was like the Frank came in to get the bank.
Frank came in to have lunch at 10 minutes to 10? Is that what you're saying?
I can't understand anything he's saying.
Give the phone to Margaret, will you?
Yes, hello.
It's me. Are you going to come back to work?
Frank's here, and he's having lunch. I thought I'd sit down and have a shrimp cocktail with him. You know, one thing to you, Margaret, watch out that shrimp cocktail. I'll make sure you don't get me a clam dip. No, I'm not having the clam dip there. Ted wants me to put on a clam. He wants me to put on his clam dip clown costume. I'm not going to go out and clown at the clam dip. No way. That's how I'm going to stay to him. And give the phone to Ted, will you? Yeah, Mavis wants to talk to you. Mavis wants to talk to you. Ted, this is Mavis. I will not put on your clam dip outfit so I can clown it for clam dip. I'm not going to do it until such time as you change your opinion on National Football League.
You signed a contract, didn't you?
I didn't sign a contract.
Well, I haven't signed a contract yet, Ted. I've had a lawyer look at it. Look, I can't understand anything he's saying, okay? Give the phone back to Margaret.
Give the phone back to Margaret. Oh, Jesus.
Yes.
You belted that guy pretty hard, didn't you?
Well, listen, nobody says to me what he said, hanging around the animals or whatever it is that he said. Frank, talk to Phil.
Oh, I don't want to talk to her.
What's wrong?
He's eating lunch. And then I saw Frank here, so I'm having lunch with him. Is that all right?
Yeah, sure, that's fine. We're going to be out of the show here in about 5 minutes. It's a little bit of a short show today because of prior commitments that we do have. However, I am not going to leave this point alone. I think that while Ted's excuse is to allow these players to continue playing because there's, quote, a lot of cabbage riding on these games, end quote, and that's bad enough. Mavis, you want to smack these guys around. I think we need a better solution, okay? Okay?
Yeah, that's... Can you say something?
Okay, well, say goodbye to Frank.
Phil says goodbye, Frank.
Okay.
And thank you, Mavis.
My pleasure, Phil. I've had a good time. Pull it up, boy. Charlie, pull it up here, okay? They didn't give me a napkin. They didn't give me no napkin. Hold on, Phil.
No, I gotta go, okay?
Phil, goodbye. Hey, you there with the hair. You didn't give me a napkin. Well, you might have thought you did. You didn't give me no... Give me a napkin. I need a straw. I need two straws. I got the extra large gulp. I got a big giant... Yeah, I got the big giant one. You still there, Phil?
No, I'm gone. Just about gone. Classic Friday, Mavis Leonard, Bobby Dooley. World famous Phil Henry Show, executive produced by me, Phil Henry, for Siepre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One. We'll see you guys tonight for our chat.
That is our Friday night chat. Starts at 9 o'clock Pacific right here at philhenryshow.com. And then tomorrow, not only do we have our Saturday BSP-only show, which is our chat, we also have Saturday Night at the Movies with Phil. It's a brand spanking new offering for our BSPs. See you guys tonight.